Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. With Bruce coming to the end of his time as senior pastor, we thought it would be fun to invite his wife, Tamara, onto the podcast to reflect on their 27 years of ministry together here at Christ Fellowship. So I had the chance to talk to them both, and it was a really fun conversation. They are both amazing people and have an amazing marriage, and I think you're going to love hearing from them. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast Zoom edition once again. I am here on Zoom with Bruce, but also with Tamara. So I am so excited as Bruce was sort of winding down to his last few podcasts. He was the one who was like, how about we have Tamara on? And I was like, I love Tamara. I think she's amazing. So I would love to have her on the podcast and just sort of lend her voice, you know, as we say goodbye to Bruce.
Enough of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, no, right?
I appreciate all the love that all of you guys have poured out to me and are pouring out. And it means a lot to me and Tamara. So thank you for all your words of support and encouragement. And Tamara and I, probably one of the most dominant feelings we have right now is gratitude. Yeah. So grateful, so thankful to God and to you, the people of Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are so beloved, and you probably don't even realize how beloved you are, but you are. And so I thought it would be fun to just sort of look back, but also look forward, maybe just to hear some of your thoughts on 27 plus years at Christ Fellowship, if you count the getting everything ready and spun up. So I wanted to start with this, and I'm interested to see if you guys have different answers to this question or the same answer, which is, if you look back over the last 27 years, are there certain moments or milestones that really stand out to you as pivotal in the life of the church? Like maybe there was a crossroads, or maybe just something that really God just really showed up in an amazing way. And then as you look back, this really stands out to you. So Bruce, I'm going to start with you, and then I'm going to see if Tamara has the same or different answer.
I have a super early one, really early, okay, which is that before the first services, we got together once a month, and one was a worship service and one was a service project in the community to the Samaritan Inn. But in October, we did a oriented toward family and fellowship. And we all went to Lake Murray to a group campsite. And it was the first time we'd all been together like that overnight. It was all the families that were starting the church. And we did the original 101, getting started, the first step class these days. And it's where we bonded. And we didn't really know that would happen, but it's like we became a church that weekend. And there's something about spending overnight together, whether it's a men's retreat, women's retreat, mission trip, that time with the moms and dads and little kids was the moment that I think we really became a church and we're a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so fun. And it's amazing to think Christ Fellowship was once that small.
I know.
Because right now that would be an impossibility. We'd have to rent out the entire Dallas Convention Center and a hotel, you know, I mean, but yeah, that's so amazing. So what about you, Tamara? What do you remember as you look back?
Early on, just everybody, adults, children, everybody getting up at Fabian Middle School so early in the morning, bringing in the cables and the chairs and the amplifiers and speakers and, you know, everybody just working so hard. And at that early part of the church, 100% of the people were involved doing something. And it was such a great feeling. And I think, you know, we miss out, you know, when the 80-20 rule where 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. And I remember thinking back then, gosh, 80% of us are doing this work, you know, because we all needed it. And I think that the body misses something when they think, oh, that's all taken care of, and they don't get in there and share. They miss on that community and that ownership.
Such a joy in serving. And if you're listening and you're not serving somewhere, yes, it'd be great for the benefit of whoever you serve, whether it's children or students or worship or whatever area you're in, but it's for you. Yeah. You get so much joy out of being a part of everything. And it's always that when you're serving, you actually get more out of it than the people you serve.
And it looks like everything's all covered, but there's plenty to do.
That's what I was going to say. I think people think, oh, they don't need me. Nobody needs me. And it's like, oh, no, we do. We do need you. Right. And there are probably gifts that you have that we would love to know that you have because we probably have a way that you could use those gifts. So that's, yeah, I think that whole like, yeah, I mean, when you're, it's like you're on a really long mission trip when you plant a church, I think, you know,
pretty much that way, the intensity and the excitement and the adventure of looking at God moving everywhere around you. And Tamara did, you did such an amazing job of shoulder tapping. And what I mean is she would invite someone and say, I see that you're good at greeting people or you're good at PowerPoint or whatever.
I really made that up. Because I would just think we need people serving coffee. And I remember going up to Dave and Pam Lewis and saying, you know, I think you guys would be great at serving coffee. And I was standing in a photo line back when you used to have to take things in to get developed. And we really needed a graphics person. And Steve Swadley was behind me with his stuff. I didn't even know the man. And he said, what are you doing here? And I told him, and he said, oh, we visited your church and, you know, I do graphics. And I said, you know what? We need you right now.
Because you really do.
You really did. But the thing is, I didn't always know exactly what people were good at, but I knew what the needs were and I took a chance and asked.
So. I think that's a great lesson to say. Not only is it good to serve, but it's good to invite people to serve.
Yes.
And a lot of people, a personal invite makes such a difference. So wherever you're serving, to invite somebody to serve with you. And in those cases, remarkably, the man she mentioned, Dave Lewis, became an elder.
Mm-hmm.
The other man, Steve Swadley, joined our staff, was a volunteer, then joined our staff and ended up being a huge part of the church for years and years.
And a very, very, very dear friend. And but you just need to ask. So, but don't wait to be asked. That's the other thing.
You can always raise your own hand and volunteer. But and there's something like that's really sweet about saying, hey, come do this with me. Let's do this together. You know, come be on my team and serve with me. Yeah. Okay. So what about you guys? I'm interested to know. I know that ministry can be hard on marriages, and especially as a pastor, I mean, you're just responsible for so much and there's so many people that need you, Bruce, over the years. What have been the biggest challenges you guys have faced as a couple in ministry?
What you just said is that as much as I have tried to put Tamara first and put her above the church, practically speaking, Sunday morning comes and I can't say, well, why don't we have coffee instead of I preach on Sunday? I mean, it's not a thing.
Or let's just go away for the holidays. I don't need to be there. No one needs me at Christmas.
So every Christmas Eve, every Easter, not every Sunday, but most Sundays. And the same with elder meetings and staff meetings and quite a few other things, you know, people's needs in the hospital or crises. And so it ends up that you're not just my life, but unlike maybe some other, maybe more than some other jobs, our lives revolve around the church and its schedule, rhythms, and its needs. And so that puts pressure because it can feel like the church is the other woman.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really struggle with that so much. I think it was harder on the kids because of things of theirs that he would have to miss.
Yeah.
But they understood and they don't have any resentment, which is wonderful because a lot of ministry children really do, but they really don't have any resentment. But as I started working more, and so I was working Monday through Friday and he was working Monday through every day,
Monday through Monday,
there's no time for us to ever get away because he would say, well, let's go here Tuesday, Wednesday. And I'm like, I'm working Tuesday, Wednesday. So there was probably 15 years where that was pretty frustrating for me. But not to be always fighting his schedule, you know, not fighting his schedule. I felt a pull between his schedule and my responsibilities.
Something that you said just a second ago, Tamara, is that none of our five children resent the church.
None of them. They're also,
and
they have a lot of affection for the church.
So many pastors' kids don't hate the church, have left the church, or are deconstructing their faith. And I think a huge key to that is Tamara. And so you would often say to the kids, especially when they're younger, well, dad is fill in the blank on a mission trip and let's pray for him. Or dad is taking care of this or that in an age appropriate way, explaining mm-hmm. where I was, whether it was a hospital or a board meeting or whatever it might be, and then helping them be part of it. Let's support yeah. dad. So Tamara cultivated a love for the church. And if she had been, if you had been angry and bitter,
right,
the church would have caught on to that or really mm-hmm. frustrated. But that wasn't the case. And so we really felt like as a family, lots of the time that we were in it together. And if we were doing some event or some, well, there was always something going on. Tamara, we bring the kids with us, and in whatever was appropriate for their ages, we tried to make it a win for them. Like Tamara would say, you know, you get to get some of the food early if there's food, or you get
the first cupcake. Yours, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I would share too, I'd like to really share how the people of the church supported us. Like, you know, they would, especially if Bruce was out of town or doing something, they would say, oh, you know, why don't you come over here for dinner? Or here's a movie pass. Or they really encouraged us in little ways, not huge ways, but ways that really blessed our kids and blessed me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different people in the church who really reached out to our children. I don't know if you remember Lewis and Sybil Miller, but they were founding members of the church, were there forever. Not related, but they really took an interest in our oldest son, especially, and were so kind to him and, you know, showed up for his graduation. And when he was going off to the Navy, even all those years later, they were there for that and gave him a little gift, and just their support for him, especially you know, Rodney Doyle's been a real support of him. And but just the people who've been supportive to our children and to me while he was gone, our kids look at that and think, oh, we got fun things when dad was away, you know?
We've asked, yeah. Did you resent the church, or did you resent being in a pastor's family and there weren't as many resources financially and all? And they said, no, not at all.
No.
And so we have felt so loved by Christ Fellowship, so cared for by the people of our church. And we know not every pastor and pastor's wife experiences mm-hmm. that, but we are just so grateful for all the love and care. And we really feel like Christ Fellowship is a family, and we're part of the family, and we've mm-hmm. been cared for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you will continue to be part of the family.
I know. And we're excited about that. We want that. We're so thrilled that that's the way it's all developed, is that we can stay a part of the family for years and years to come. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And have our role to play. Mm-hmm.
So Bruce, let me ask you this, and this may be a hard question to answer, but how has Tamara like played a part in shaping the ministry of Christ Fellowship? Is there a way that like you really, is there a certain area that you really leaned on her in, or what would you say?
Yeah, I think so much that's behind the scenes that nobody would see or know.
Yeah.
And so Tamara has been a constant support to me, you know? So sometimes, you know, I can appear strong, and I'm in the Lord, I am strong, and you put on a good face, even when things are hard. That's what a leader does. You kind of need to suck it up and go on. But I need encouragement, and I need affirmation. And Tamara's provided that in emotional and spiritual, relational support, and just always there, always faithful. And I've been out and about doing ministry at the church and the community and the world, and she's kept the house together in ways that I look back and think, gosh, I wished I had done more. But she has provided a loving, wonderful home for us and for our five children, and done essentially everything in those early years for the kids and for our family, that has just been amazing. And then I have bounced a lot of things off Tamara privately and personally, and listened deeply to what she said. That didn't mean I always did it, and sometimes that was frustrating because Tamara was like, I didn't listen because I didn't go that direction, but it has really impacted. I have felt in our marriage free to share 95% of the things going on at the church. Mm-hmm. I try to hold some back to be protective, to not bear too much weight, but mainly we have borne the burden together of everything in the church.
Yeah. And what about you, Tamara? How do you feel like you were able to, like, what did you do to support Bruce? What did you feel like he really needed in all these years?
Well, he does like affirmation. So a lot of that, but also just really literally doing everything at the house and for the kids. Like, there were years when he did not know any of the teachers. He didn't, you know, because he was just busy all the time.
Yeah, especially in the early days, I'm sure.
Yeah, in the early days. And also God just at early before the church got big enough that there were plenty of volunteers, I was just enabled to serve in ways that I wouldn't serve at all now, but it was like, okay, somebody needs to do this. Okay, I can do that. And I felt really empowered by, you know, in the early days, I was in the service planning teams and this and that. And I would never think of doing that now. But at that time, I did it and I was equipped. It was.
And I think it's the spirit.
I think it was the spirit, because I ran into somebody from the early days the other day and they said, are you still doing X? And I'm like, nope. And I don't even think I could, you know, but at that time, that's what the church needed. And the Holy Spirit or something.
And you have such a heart, Tamron. So it's just whatever needed doing, whether that was moving chairs and tables or coffee, or that was drama or music or singing or kids and so many areas. And so I think that's a great spirit, is to eat for you as you're listening, to ask, what does the church need? Where is the greatest need? And be willing to serve. And whether you're gifted in that area or not, to say, if the church needs somebody to do X, Y, Z, I'm here. You know,
I think one of my favorite definitions of a spiritual gift is whatever the church needs that the Spirit empowers you to do. I mean, I think sometimes we try to overthink it, you know, and it's like, if there's a need and the Spirit has enabled you to fill that need, guess what? That's your spiritual gift for that moment.
For that moment. It may only be for that moment, but it's that moment.
Gosh, like you said, Lisa, there's gifts people have they don't think about that the church can use and need, everywhere from all kinds of technology things people have volunteered for, like improving our security, or things to do with security, with cameras and doors and how they operate.
Data entry.
Knowing how to work our database.
Finances. Creating, building on our database to create tools for us to care for people better.
Yeah.
There's just an unending number of ways people can use their gifts and abilities for the Lord in Christ Fellowship.
And to, like you said earlier, really feel like they're part of the family, and, you know, everybody chips in the family, right? We all have our role to play. Well, let me ask you this, Bruce. I know Tamara said that she went back to school and then went back to work. So I want to flip it around. How did you support her that?
At that moment, I felt like, you know, I feel like Tamara supported me when I went to seminary fully, because we did most of seminary together. 3 of the 4 years we were married. And so I thought, it is, and then she supported me in my doctoral work. So I feel like this is my time. And so for those couple of years of her earning her master's degree in speech language pathology, I tried to be the best support I could be to really step up in that time.
It was really sweet, because he'd had, you know, almost 30 some years of always having dinner ready every night and someone doing all his laundry in the house. And I was like, I can't do that right now. And also, I want to talk to you right now. You know, and it was 2 years of that, and he was so patient. And we were both really glad when it was over. But that was rough. But he was a very patient and supportive. And I remember one time I was driving home from school, because I'd have practicum all day, or, you know, clinicals all day, and then school at night. I was driving home, and he said, "I want to put a frozen pizza in the oven. What do I do?" And I just started crying. I said, "That's the sweetest thing I've ever heard." You know, he did that for me. It was so sweet.
There's going to be food on the table for you when you get home.
When I get home, it was
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so, Tamara, what has been the most rewarding aspect of being a pastor's wife for you? Like, what have you loved the most?
I loved having people in our home, and just getting to know people. And I'll tell you the most rewarding now. Now I've got one. Seeing those adults who were children when they started, and now they're back in church with their children, and seeing people that were born in our church, you know, growing up and thriving, and you realize that's what it's been all about. That's been the most rewarding, to see them serving and training their own families. And if they're not still at Christ Fellowship, they're off somewhere else serving and leading another church. And it's just such a joy. That's the longer we've been here and the closer we get to our new role, both of us are feeling like sort of parents of the church, like it's all our children and we're so proud of them. It's, this is what it's all about. And when we saw all those babies 2 weeks ago being,
yes,
we said, oh my goodness, that's the future of the church right there. And it's thriving, you know, it's just the future of the church.
They looked up there and thought, this is the most babies we've ever dedicated in the history of the church on one Sunday. And we thought, when Tamara says the future of the church, I thought in two ways. It's the parents, the young parents, and it's babies, because we've been here 28 years. And so those babies 28 years from now will be starting their families. And so for us to have dedicated babies who then we baptized, who then we saw graduate from high school and then get married and have babies. It's wonderful.
It's a beautiful thing. And it's not just the future of Christ Fellowship. It's the future of the church.
Yeah, you know, the big C church.
Yeah.
See, think about that blessing song, you know.
Yeah.
That one gets me every time.
Every time.
I can't hear that and not cry.
Every time.
But that is what it's all about. It's about that longevity and, you know, just making more and more disciples until Jesus comes back for us.
Mm-hmm. And being able to, I can't tell you how many pregnant women I've prayed for, and the, and then they'll come back and here's my baby and you prayed for him. And oh, what a blessing. It's just such an honor to be that intimate with people in the body. You know, it never is an imposition. It is never imposition.
So how have you seen Christ Fellowship evolve or change over the years? Like Bruce and I've talked about this some, like you don't want a church. It's kind of like a person in the and it was a baby and it was a toddler, then it was a teenager, and now it's 27. And are there ways that it's changed in good ways, like the ways that it's evolved that you've been really pleased to see, Tamara?
Yes. I remember when we started Christ Fellowship, we were all young and excited and saying, we're going to be different. We're going to meet the needs of, we're going to meet the needs of the public and that other, you know, other churches, those old churches, they're just stuck in their ways. And we had this expression, we'd say, it's hard to turn a big ship around. It's hard to turn a big ship. And I remember way back then we would pray that we would not be afraid to turn, to go the way our people needed ministering to.
Yeah.
And really I've seen that we've grown in ways like, just having women have much more leadership, not in an unbiblical way, but letting women live into their gifts and minister in their gifts and being open to everyone.
Yeah.
While still having biblical integrity, but to really know that you are welcome at Christ Fellowship, whoever you are.
Yeah.
And feel Jesus' love at Christ Fellowship, whoever you are. And the other is that we just, when we first started, the church, frankly, was very white. Mm-hmm. And now it's much more multicultural. And I remember a couple of years ago at the 21 Days of Prayer, a little girl stood up and she said, I love seeing people here that look like me. And I think this must be what heaven is like. And I just so touched. And I thought, I think that must be what heaven is like. And I will just never forget that. And I know we have to protect that. Yeah. We have to protect that part of our church. It's unique and it's really, really precious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Bruce? Anything stand out differently than what Tamara just shared?
I think a lot of what Tamara said is exactly how I feel, that in the beginning we were pretty white. We had one African-American family, leaders who are still with us today.
Still with us.
Such faithful, a blessing. Faithful. So faithful. Dear friends of ours. And also, we were all in our 30s and 40s. There was a few folks older than that, but we've really become an intergenerational church, as well as multicultural, multi-ethnic. And I think that diversity is beautiful. And I hope that just continues and that we see Christ Fellowship in the years to come be ever more multicultural, multi-ethnic.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Like Chammer said, it'll be a picture of heaven.
Well, that was a little girl. I think I don't remember whose little girl it was, but it was a little girl like 9 or 10 years old. And it really touched my heart.
Yeah. I love her vision to see that. Okay. So as you both step into your next season, I'd love to know, what are you most excited about personally? Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm really excited to be able to really put Tamara at the center in a way that I've just not been able to. Not that I loved her less or love her more or that she's more important, but just practically, in a week-to-week schedule, be able to put you really at the center. And I feel like what God's calling me to do is just love and cherish Tamara in this next season, right after we pass the baton.
Oh, I love that. What about you, Tamara? What are you looking forward to?
To worshiping with our children. You know, they don't live here.
Yeah.
And to be able to go to their home church and worship with them. And some of them leave worship in different capacities, get to be able to be a part of that. I'm really excited about that. I've been able to do it. He has not as much. Yeah. And I'm excited to do that with him. So many birthdays and baptisms and things he's not been able to be a part of. And so
looking forward to
now there. We can do it together. And I want that. I want us football games, even ballet. It doesn't have to be all spiritual.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have 10 grandkids. Yeah. That's a lot of ballet recitals.
That's a lot of birthdays, special events. And our oldest granddaughter is in ballet and I've missed every recital. And I'm so looking forward next year, her recital spring, to be able to go to her recital for Belle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And all the things that you guys will get to experience.
And soccer games and all that, gymnastics. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be great to just be, to be grandparents. Enjoy being grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that you haven't, but you'll have a little more focused attention on that.
And we'll be able to do it together.
Yes, together. Yeah. And then what about for Christ Fellowship? Like, what are your hopes and prayers for Christ Fellowship going forward? Tamara, let's start with you.
I really hope that we continue to be on the trajectory we've started, that women would be allowed to live into their gifts, that all would be welcome, and that we'd stay a multicultural church. And I'm also hoping, I see so many new young families coming into the church, and that's just crucial for a church to thrive and grow. I really want to see even more young families. And, you know, some of that is just means that church may not look the way I want it to look, but it
are you okay? Going to be okay with that?
Yes, because that's not what it's about. It's about
that
next generation. So I am, that's my hope, is that we can continue to stay relevant and welcoming to young adults, because that's the hard group to reach.
It is. Yeah.
It's.
We've laughingly said that if we're in our 70s and we don't hate the music, something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
What we meant by that is that
it's really loud.
It needs to adapt. Not the core theology, not the core DNA.
No.
As good missionaries, you want to reach the people of the culture, and the culture is changing. It is not the same as it was 30 years ago. And so the church needs to adapt. It's the forms that it has, not the core message or doctrine. Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be one of my hopes for Christ Fellowship, is that it would change.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope Christ Fellowship does not stay exactly the same in the way things are done.
Right.
I hope the values and the theology and the core DNA remains the same. Of course, the commitment to Christ and his word. But, you know, I hopefully someone will use some more current illustrations than I might have in my sermon.
Yes, I know what you mean. I feel the same really way about the Engage God Daily. I'm like, man, somebody else needs to help me.
I guess one of my hopes is that we will maintain a missionary spirit. Mm-hmm. When we started the church, we said we're missionaries and we are called to this community. And we teasingly said, what are the natives like in McKinney? But we said we want to ask ourselves, how can we reach people for Christ who are in no church, who are not following the Lord, who are lost? And we're not trying to pull people from one church to another church.
Yeah.
One aquarium to another. We're called to be fishers of people, like Jesus said. And so I think to have a fresh missionary zeal for the people who live right around Christ Fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm excited about the future for our church. I mean, I certainly personally am going to miss Bruce around the office and him on this podcast. But I know you're not going away forever. You will still be a part of the family.
I'll be around. Different role to play, but I want to
different role to play, but you'll be there.
This is seriously in the body.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for your time and for coming. Tamara, thanks for being on here with us. It was fun to have you. And I'm going to pray for us. Is that okay?
Wonderful.
All right. Father God, I thank you for my brother and my sister. Lord, I have such love and affection for both of them and all that you've done through them and in them. Lord, I just praise you for your mighty work in their lives and for the way you have designed them both individually and as a couple to be used by you in this place and time called Christ Fellowship. And Lord, we just pray for the future of our church. We pray that we would continue to be devoted to you, holding nothing back, that we would be united, that we would be all welcome and all real, and that your word would be what we center ourselves around, but most of all, that we would be all about Jesus. I know that is Bruce's heart and Tamara's heart, and that's all our hearts, Lord. So we're asking you to continue to bless Christ Fellowship in the future. It's in your son's most holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. We will see you back next week for one more episode with Bruce.